Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. I'm really excited about today's guest because I listened to her podcast that she hosts with her mum, Table Manners, and the whole time I'm like, I want to be there. I want to be having dinner with them. Not only that, she's an amazing singer-songwriter and mother of two. It's Jessie Ware.
Oh my God, I've really been looking forward to meeting you.
Have you?
I feel like I know you already. Yeah, I've been, you know, liking lots of your Instagram posts, listening to Happy, I was going to get it wrong. This is Baby Brain. Happy Baby, Happy Mum, Happy Baby. I'm a massive fan and I think you're fantastic and it's a real treat to be on this.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, let's get chatting.
Yeah, come on then.
What was your childhood like?
I think it was quite a happy one. It was full of fighting with my brother and sister. You know, I've got a fake tooth from my sister with the bathtub. I pulled my brother's arms out of the socket. You know, it was kind of, you know, every day in the warehouse there was something broken. No, it was loud. It was quite exciting. And I have quite fond memories, I think.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a mum and have
Absolutely.
A family?
Absolutely. More than anything in the world, I knew I wanted to be a mum.
And did you have an idea in your head of when?
I thought I really wanted to be a mid-20s, late-20s mum. I don't know why I was obsessing about what age I'd be when they were going to be 21.
But you do, don't
it's
you?
So
you do the
stupid.
Silly things.
Yeah.
I remember my sister saying that she wanted to be a mum when she was 26. Mm. So that became the age that I wanted to.
How old were you when you had?
29.
Okay.
How old am I? Yeah, 29.
Fine.
But in my head, like that figure was only there because my sister had said it.
And that's still quite young now.
Yeah.
I didn't. I think I had my daughter when I was about to be 31. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to be a young mum. And then some of my friends had kids around 27 and now they're laughing. But like they've got like 9-year-olds and they're like being able to do things together and it's like less mental. But I was just starting my career at 27, really. And so, yeah, started, well, not even late. Like, I think I've done it at the most perfect time, but I had this obsession about being a young mum.
Yeah. That's so funny. There's so many similarities with me. Yeah. Suddenly in my book career, like my writing career took off at a point where I thought I would be doing the motherhood thing.
You know, I think we've got a similar thing where we've known our partners forever.
Yeah.
You went to school together. I mean, I went to school with Sam at primary school.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, we weren't going out when we were in primary school. I didn't.
But
we didn't
did you
even
always
speak to
know
each other?
Did you?
We like knew each other, but we bumped into each other at like a drum and bass rave when we were like 16. And I was like, oh, there's Sam Burrows from Honeymoon. And then we re-met properly and like fell for each other when we were like 17, 18. So we've been together since we were 18. So it's very similar to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I guess we could have started a bit earlier, but it's,
don't you find it that thing though? Through. Because when you get together so young, you're still exploring and you're still living life and you kind of almost forget that those are the other steps. You might talk about it. Like me and Tom had a list of names.
Yeah.
You know, we always knew that that's what we wanted.
Yeah.
But actually getting down and doing it, taking a plunge and having kids.
Having sex.
No, back then I'm sure there was lots of sex. More than now. But, you know, I think the actual taking the plunge and going, right, we want kids. Let's actually make this happen. It's a big step.
Yeah. And I think, speaking about myself, I was in this weird situation where I didn't feel like I'd fully achieved everything in music.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast wasn't happening. And I felt it was like almost a sacrifice on my career, which was mad because it hasn't been at all. The music industry, as you will know, it's a really odd industry. And sometimes women are perceived as having a bit of a shelf life with music as pop, in pop and whatnot. And not that I really make pop music. But I was like, if I have a baby now, what's going to happen with my career? And I don't feel like I've made enough of it yet. And in my head, I think I thought that I was going to, initially when I was dreaming about having babies when I was younger, I was like, well, that will be everything
for me. That's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. And it absolutely hasn't been. And it was really Annie Mack, the DJ. She's not just a DJ, she's a businesswoman, she's inspiring, she's been like basically my mentor. And I rung her and I was like, am I stupid to go for a baby when I think I was like after album two, and she was like, do it. She was like, it'll make you work harder. You'll be more successful. You'll have your amazing child. She was like, absolutely do it. And you never know how long it's going to take. And she was just like, just forget about the music. It will all work out. And it absolutely has. And it's been, I mean, it's, of course, it's a balancing act, isn't it, all the time. But it,
did you fall pregnant easily?
I did. And I feel really guilty about that.
But don't.
Yeah, it was really easy. So then I was constantly, I was like, well, that was too easy. So obviously I'm going to miscarry. And luckily I didn't with either of them. And it was very, very lucky. And I've had lots of friends that have not found it easy. And I do feel slightly guilty about that. But yeah,
it's funny,
out.
Isn't it? Because you never want to have those worries. Mm. And I think anyone who is having difficulties falling pregnant wouldn't wish it on other people.
No, I know.
So when it does, I mean, I always say that the guilt is with you from day one. And that is the perfect example of that guilt.
Yeah. I think, you know, and then I don't know, it's like horses for courses, isn't it? But so I really struggle with breastfeeding. I struggle so much. So I'm like, okay, well, I got, and I know they're two different things. I'm very lucky that I've got my baby to attempt to breastfeed, but I feel really lucky that that happened so quickly.
And were you surprised when you found out?
I mean, I'm such a control freak. I wasn't that surprised because I'd had a period tracker. So right. I guess like I
yeah,
kind
but
of
only
knew...
30% chance. If everything is right with you, everything is right with your partner, and you do it at the right time, there's still only a 30% chance of falling pregnant.
Bloody hell, we are lucky then. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. But I think I'm such a pessimist that I was so stressed. I think you're stressed out worrying about it until you get past that 20-week scan that makes it feel slightly more real. Mm. It's that weird, the longest 12 weeks of your life, aren't they?
So strange.
Ugh, yeah.
Did you tell anyone in that 12 weeks?
Yeah, I definitely told people. And the second time it was really weird because I think a newspaper approached my old record label and said, we believe Jessie Ware is pregnant. I don't know how they knew, apart from I've been doing festivals and maybe the wind had blown on my... you show a bit more on the second one, don't you? And so I had to call the president of Virgin and be like, before you hear this from somebody else, this is what's going to... I mean, it was really odd to be pushed into that situation, but very lucky that everything worked out and he was cool and he was like, of course, great, amazing.
Because that's the difficult thing as well, isn't it? Sort of planning ahead.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing where someone who I know said to me, it was at a time when I wasn't even thinking about trying for a family, but she said, don't put off that stuff, because I think she'd been working with someone who was in her 80s, never had a family. And that lady had said to her, now I have nothing. And, you know, all those audiences that I've acted in front of and formed and, you know, they love me in that moment. Mm. And I sacrificed so much and now I'm on my own.
Oh, God.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? You kind of feel that that's your everything, but actually there is another level to life.
Yeah, and look, I feel life is very interesting and exciting now that I have kids. I'm knackered, but it feels quite grey before they came into my
really?
Life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's like me having a really silly job as it is, like, which is very fun. It definitely puts things into perspective. I mean, maybe I'm feeling pretty great because my son slept through the night, like basically for the first time last night.
Let's talk about them coming into the world.
Yep.
What was your first labour like?
It was kind of amazing. I felt like I was in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, a film of giving birth. I'd basically prepped so much for this birth.
How did you prep?
Oh, man. I threw money at the
really?
Oh, yes. I was so worried about the birth. I wanted children beyond belief. I was so scared about the actual birth. I still didn't really understand how that could come out of your fanny.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't understand it. And my mate Quentin had a really quick birth. And I said, how did you do it? She was like 4 hours. And I was like, how did you do it? This is when I didn't know enough about things, by the way. And she went, I went to see this woman. She made me drink some teas, stretched out my fanny. Like, you'll be cool. So I went to see this incredible woman who is my friend and I adore, Gary Motha, who is brought water births over to the UK. And she is kind of an Ayurvedic, hypnotherapy, gentle birth guru, wonderful woman. I adore her so, so much. And she was so important and integral to the second birth, bizarrely, because I kind of saw her less in the second pregnancy. But yeah, so I went to see her. I was having lots of lymphatic drainages. And I think I kind of over-prepared for the first birth.
Right.
But the first birth, I was 9 days overdue and I'd gone gluten and sugar free. I'd like done all this prep. I was treating it like it was the biggest marathon of my life, which actually it is pretty full on, isn't it? I had the best snacks that were all gluten and sugar free, which definitely you don't want to eat when you're giving birth and you've been vomiting for fucking 24 hours and you get given a flaxseed cracker. That's crap.
Give it a jelly babies.
Yeah. Why? And I said this to Gary. I was like, I had all sugar free. She was like, no, you can have sugar by the birth. Like, pause. Anyway, so Gary was incredible. I was kind of drinking these teas. I was doing lots of massage, craniosacral therapy, reflexology, acupuncture. I was like doing the whole shebang. And my mum was like, you're mental. She was like, darling, just have the epidural. Just have it. And somebody after the first birth, she went, treat yourself to an epidural next time. So anyway, birth, went in, started getting rumblings, tried to not think about it too much, mm-hmm. You know how they say. Went for a massive walk with our dog. And then we watched that bloody, what's it called, Zootopia? Because they say watch something that will make you feel light and happy. So we watched some cartoon that was really sweet. So like things are starting to like bubble, totally in the zone. And then shit got real in the evening, and they were coming thick and fast. The contractions, surges, whatever you want to call them. And I was like, cool them. They're coming every 3 and 10.
Right.
I was like, they're coming. Like the baby's on its way. I was playing Blue Nile and this amazing band that I love. I had humidify, everything was just like, it was Om Shanti on. It was amazing vibes. And Sam rings up the midwife and he's like, yeah. And they were like, how is she? And he was like, she seems okay. And I was like, I'm just killing this hypnobirthing. Like, I'm smacking it. And they went, I don't think she should come in. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, babe, I'm absolutely bossing this. Like, we just need to go to the hospital. And that's what we're going to do. So we were living in East London and we were going to UCH because for some reason I thought, because my brother was a junior doctor there, I'd get preferential treatment. Of course I wasn't going to, because he's not even an obstetrician. So I was like, no, we're going to go to UCH. It was a massive schlep from Dalston.
Right.
But we went at like 2 a.m. and we got sent home. She was like, you're 2 centimetres dilated. I was like, fuck you. Everything went out the window. She was like, do you want me to give you a sweep?
Oh, you're nice then.
Yeah, gone. I was like, yeah, no, gone. And she gave me a sweep. It made it go from like 0 to 100. And then she was like, right, go home. And I was like, no, what are you saying?
You just did that to me and now I'm going to
It was so, it went from, I thought that was what contractions felt like to then this, and I was like, oh shit,
it's intense when it's
so intense. Yeah, yeah. And then got home, labored. I went into that zone. I was kind of like an animal and it seemed very high, and it was like, and then we got back in at rush hour on a Monday in the first rain of September.
Oh, God.
And the taxi driver kept on saying, why aren't you going to Homerton? And I was like, because I'm going to UCH. Shut up. Took 50 minutes to get there. I was just like, oh, and I'd gone because I was trying to maintain the hypnotherapy. I had Gary in my ears with massive headphones like we're wearing now. I had my big Celine glasses on, a Adidas hoodie and tracksuit, and then like my sliders. I looked like Honey G. And like I looked mental, and then I was groaning having like the contractions in the lift. And this woman just went up to me. She went, you're doing really well. And I just like, anyway, the baby did not come for ages.
That's why they say, though, can we speak to her? Because otherwise, so if you're there going, yes, it's going really well, they're like, nah, you're not there yet.
No, I know. And that's it. I asked for all the drugs in the world, even though I wanted totally natural. They wouldn't give them to me because of my birth plan. I was like, fuck the birth plan. Ignore the birth plan. Sam was like, you don't want this. You've prepared so much for this to have this birth the way you want. And I was like, no, just give me something. Anyway, ride the round. This is a good part to the story. We were put in like a broom cupboard, which actually worked out really great. So I didn't get the water birth or anything like that because it was really busy. And I was high as a kite. And I'm riding around. I'm talking about British Bake Off. And there was this girl just sitting there. And she'd been there for about an hour, just kind of not really doing anything. And Sam, you know, it's hard for the partner because they're not in that next level zone that you're in. And he said, sorry, what are you doing here? She went, oh, I'm just on work experience. And he went, I think you need to go. She was just there.
Gosh.
I know. It was quite funny though. And I was there because one of my mates was training to be a midwife. So I was like, babe, how many births are you up to? Like into the next contraction. And I was just like, and she was just on work experience.
Oh, my God.
I know. Anyway, I had the most amazing male midwife, and we'd been pushing for 2 hours, and I thought that 2 hours was like the cutoff. And I said, is it time for intervention? Because I was really compassmented. It's amazing. When you get into the pushing, for me, I was like, bang, okay, let's go. It's game time. Like, let's do this. And I was like this superhero warrior woman from going to this kind of high as a kite person before.
Yeah.
I was like, right, let's do this. And I just couldn't get her out. And the playlist had gone to shit by this point. And we were like, and she was born to Bob Marley, One Love, accidentally. it was not a choice. He was at the bottom of the playlist. I had Sade and Frank Ocean and people like that at the top. And Bob Marley was at the end. One Love. She came out. She's very happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, he said, no, we won't. Don't worry. You're doing really, really well. And I was like, I'm really not. My husband had bought TRX. Have you ever used a TRX?
No.
It's like a workout thing.
Because he's a PT.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he's shit with me with PT. And he's an amazing PT, but I don't listen to him. Yeah. I know better than him, yeah. Of course. Anyway, he brought this TRX band to hook over the door, which is like, so you can kind of use your body weight and you can, like, straps. You can do pull-ups on it, everything. I wasn't doing pull-ups, but I was holding it for resistance. And I was doing the deepest squat I've ever done. And he told me to do that. We tried everything else. Like, and I'd done amazing active yoga with this amazing woman called Anne, who is in Hackney. If anybody's in Hackney, you need to see her. She does it at the Yoga Body Centre, and she does this couples yoga, and she was amazing. So Sam was really understanding how to, like, manoeuvre my body and, like, really trying to open it up. And he was like, get on the TRX, do a massive squat. And she came out. So I kind of, like, Sam felt really proud of himself.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the partner can play as active role if they want or not, or they can just be really annoying,
Well,
I'm sure.
And also, you don't know how you're going to feel in that moment and what you're going to need.
Totally.
So you could talk about this nice little fingertip massage, and the moment you'd be like, get off me.
Yeah, exactly. But he was amazing. I mean, I felt like we were such a team. And it was like, I mean, he cried so much. I was kind of like on adrenaline. So I was like, there, and he was like, she's bleeding out, someone save my wife. And he was like, it's fine, don't worry. Anyway, so it's amazing. Like, that was so positive. So I feel like I had a natural birth.
Yeah.
I didn't tear. All that money that I spent was hopefully worthwhile. But also, I think it was probably, I didn't tear because she took ages to come out. So I think she was just stretching everything out. But I'd got that epi note. I mean, I'd like literally done everything in prep. So I was like, if I don't get the birth that I want, then I will be super disappointed. And you actually sometimes, you don't know how the baby's going to come out.
No.
Anyway, so that was great.
What was it like when you actually met her and she was in your arms?
She was just, it felt quite surreal. I don't think I kind of, I remember my mum was just ready to come over and I felt like a grown-up all of a sudden, I think. And my husband made me feel like a goddess as well, that it was just like this incredible thing. And then you kind of want to remind them of that when they forget.
Remember that time you saw me push a human out of my food?
Yeah, exactly. It was just, I don't know, it just felt like she'd always been there, really.
How was it becoming a mum and having a newborn? Because obviously your life is quite very different. I always think that juxtaposition of being on stage and being that creative and then being at home with a newborn where they're not really listening to you quite as much, or, you know, there's no control.
It was amazing to just kind of stop for a second and take stock of this incredible little thing and it to not be focused on all the silly things of music. It was amazing, but I did feel like after about 8 weeks, I was ready to start talking about work again.
Really?
Even though she was in the sling and I was walking and I was taking her to a music class and I'd be like, right, what are we doing? But I think I was in a different headspace then. I said, I'm going to take so much more time off with my son. I haven't at all. But weirdly, I think doing the podcast, he's been at the dinner table when he was, I mean, I was breastfeeding in front of bloody Kiefer Sutherland whilst giving him brisket for, I mean, you know, weird situations.
Let's talk about the second birth quickly, because I know that
I had a home birth.
You had a home birth?
Yeah.
This is something that I really thought about a lot third time round.
Yeah.
And then because I'd done the other two at hospital, I just thought, I don't want to break. Yeah. What, that don't break something that's not, what's that saying?
If it ain't broke, don't
there
fix
we go.
It.
There
we go.
We'll get there.
I have to say, it was magical. My mum thought I was mad doing it. My brother, who's a doctor, thought I was mad doing
really?
It. Gave me all these stats of being like, you are stupid. I'd done so much research into natural birth with my first baby, and I believed so much in Gary Motha and her kind of gentle birth method and Holly de Cruz. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a brilliant birth in a hospital, because I had an amazing birth.
Yeah, I had three amazing births at
hospital. Yeah, like, I think my husband was born in a bathtub in Brixton in a commune. I mean, his mum had two home births. She said it was so easy. She said it just felt like a bit of a bad tummy, like, and then he was out. Like, I mean, she had this very rose-tinted version of it. And I think my husband was very keen for us to do it because we'd had such a positive first birth.
Yeah.
Where it was essentially natural, apart from a little bit of dimorphine, you know what I mean? I kind of said, yeah, sure. And I think I did it slightly at the beginning for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I think I was like, I'm doing it for my husband and for the kind of legacy of the Burrows family that are, you know. But then in my head, I was like, no, I can do this. Like, I believe that your body is made to kind of do these amazing things when you're giving birth. And I'd been very lucky. So, you know what, when I went for my first checkup with the midwife, she said, how was your first birth? And I was like, great, natural, no tearing. Blah, blah. She was like, you should have a home birth. And the lazy person in me was like, you get all your appointments at home?
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, that sounds wicked. So, and then you can always choose to go to hospital. So my home birth team, honestly, I have to shout them out. Like Francine and Annie were just amazing. I love them so much. It was Homerton Hospital. And so they'd come over and I remember Francine just thought, who the fuck is this woman? Like, I was just chatting, like giving her all the stats and she was like, back the fuck off. Anyway, we became such good friends. I adored them. Oh, it was so magical.
How much did they come over beforehand then?
It was like all the checkups that you have when you go to the hospital or you go to your midwife, whether that's at the GP or whatever. So they do that. And then near the end, when I was 2 weeks overdue and I was about to be induced, I had a doula on the second birth actually too.
Really?
Amy, who was fantastic, because I thought if I'm going to have a home birth, then I know what I'll be like. I'll be like, this is feeling wrong. We need to go to hospital. So I thought a doula would be so amazing for that, being able to calm me. And Sam was so incredible in the first birth. So
was she recommended? Or
she was recommended through my producer, James Ford's wife, who's amazing, Serene. They'd had her and they said she's brilliant.
Yeah.
She was a right hippie and I love that. So we did like the closing of the bone ceremony.
And, oh,
like all that shit.
Jealous.
Into
Holly
it.
Holly DeCruz talked about it
love
with me
it.
And then we never actually did
love.
It.
So yeah, like, and she'd do these amazing couples and meditations and, you know, I'm really highly strung and a massive control freak, but I do believe in all that.
Yeah.
And I need somebody else to guide me. Otherwise I'll be like, right, let's talk about work or do something else. So, but it was very interesting. Second birth, because it was at home, he was 2 weeks late. I'd gone into the hospital that morning to negotiate not being induced.
Right.
I said, can I take the pessary? I was 13 days overdue. So I still had that one day. Once you get to 12 o'clock at night, you're high risk as soon as it's like that. So there was all this kind of juggling and kind of trying to make sure it, the hospital were happy for me to be at home, but whatever. And also, I wasn't going to be that person that was like, I'm not going to hospital. I was like, I want this baby out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want the baby safe. And so I went in and I said, look, can you give me the pessary? And then I can go home and hopefully it will kickstart and labour at home and hopefully it would happen. She was like, you're too far gone. You're too dilated. So we're going to have to break your waters. And I was like, oh God. And that's like with the coat hanger thing. And it scared the shit out of me. So we negotiated to come back that evening and then do our waters breaking then. I sobbed on the phone to my doula and I was like, you know, and she was like, this is going to be amazing. Whatever happens, we're going to see your baby be born and it's going to be amazing and you're going to do so well. And I think I was really scared about the induction because I've heard that, you know, the contractions
intense.
Can be really intense. So, but then I felt really supported by my team. Also, I was a bit sad that I maybe wouldn't have had my home birth team who had become so important and integral to this kind of birth. Equally, I was very accepting of the fact that what will be will be. I think I was overdue by 2 weeks because I was scared about the home birth. I mean,
really?
This is what I think. I think it's a total, it was a psychological thing for me. Anyway, as soon as she said, we're going to have a great one, let it go, I started having rumblings. It was really weird. So I text Gowrie, I'm overdue, really overdue. They want me to go in tonight. She was like, don't get your waters broken, come to me. I said, I think I'm feeling something, but you don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
So I went in the cab and I was feeling, I was just trying to be, and she got, we did reflexology and then she did cranio on me. And honestly, my surges became so much stronger and more regular with her. And she was talking me through it. It was incredible. And it was like my body was just submitting to the fact that like what will be.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with birth. It's like you can't plan it as much as you want to. And so the surges were getting much stronger and it was really almost like delicious feeling, this feeling that I've been wanting to feel for so long. And then she was like, right, you're going to have the baby today. And I was like, so I don't have to go into the hospital. And she was like, no, you're fine. Get in the cab. She put this weird high frequency thing in the headphones. So I had this weird high frequency. It was like, That literally was what I was listening to 45 minutes to get home to keep me in the zone. I don't fucking understand it, but it worked.
Yeah.
Anyway, got home, Sam had got the pool out, we told Amy Doula, and then she stopped. I think I got stage fright. Midwife came over and I was like, it was just working, I don't know what happened. She was like, cool, you just need to get a good night's sleep because this could happen tonight.
Yeah.
And she went home. Amy, I said, come on, can you just do some weird relaxation thing with me? And anyway, she did it. She did all this clearing of the chakras, all that, love it. And she said something like, let go, like, my water's broke in the bed. And then it was game on. 4 hours later, he was out.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah,
mental. It was so weird.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you find that motherhood has helped you creatively? Because it's quite difficult if you've had a sleepless night to get into a studio or into a workspace and not feel totally drained and empty.
Yeah.
But then there are also times where actually having that creative outlet, it's a way to channel those emotions and kind of...
Definitely for Glasshouse, the last record, that was very much about the beginnings of motherhood. That record was really inspired by sleepless nights and waiting to be a mum. And actually, I've always been quite strict since I've had the kids. If I am in the studio, it's going to be maximum 6 hours. And I'm like, if you can't get an idea by that point, let's just go home. Doesn't matter. I don't need to jam it out till 4 in the morning. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Like, I got other shit to do. So the sleepless nights actually were really helpful, I think, me going into another kind of world with my mind and creativity. This time around, I've written a record that's like filth and about late nights and dancing, everything that I'm not doing. So it's like pure escapism.
About all the sexy time.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so, but that's been quite fun too. And it's been inspired by parenting, I guess, in a different way, a reaction. But yeah, no, I think it's sometimes that kind of weird feeling you feel when you've had no sleep. It can bring magic out, but also can absolutely make you not be able to speak, even though I had a good night's sleep.
Well, because you're no longer censoring yourself, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because you're just like, that layer is gone.
Slightly drunk, aren't
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What has surprised you the most about motherhood?
I have like a newfound respect for my husband in a different way. The lack of sleep has surprised me slightly. What I'm finding hard at the moment is my daughter's personality is coming out and I feel like I can't protect her the whole time.
Yeah.
And that is really hard when they're doing things and you're like, oh, babe. And it's fine, they need to work it out. But that thing of like, I forgot, but I now remember what it was like being a kid.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard. And that's something that I thought I'd be more kind of like, cool, I want to protect her the whole time. Obviously you do. Obviously you do.
Yeah.
Your daughter, but that's something that I'm finding really hard to bite
my tongue. Mom's kind of like, no, don't do that. That's not, do you know?
Yeah. That's something that I'm finding really hard at the moment just because I just want her to be okay. Yeah. And of course she's going to be fine, but anyway.
You spent your whole childhood knowing that motherhood was what you wanted.
Yeah.
Is it what you thought it was going to be?
This is something that I was going to actually talk about in the letter.
Oh, yeah. Well, so as you know.
Yeah.
I have been working on a book called Letters on Motherhood. It's the next nonfiction. Well, it's a series of letters all based around motherhood, like it says.
That's amazing.
On the tin. And I was going to ask you, if you were to write a letter based around motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
Well, firstly, I write letters to my kids every birthday.
Oh.
And I do it, and it's really wonderful because it gets you to remember things that you maybe will forget. But anyway, so I've never written a letter to myself, but if I was going to write it to myself or a new mum, I think to me, I would say motherhood may not be everything you expect, and it may not be everything you need, and you mustn't feel guilty about needing other things such as a career.
Yeah.
And you're going to find it harder than you thought, and it's not going to be a walk in the park, but it's also going to be the best thing you've ever done in your life. But it doesn't have to define you, even though you thought potentially it would.
Yeah.
And you can't be perfect all the time. And that, I think I was so ready to be the most perfect mum, and I'm definitely not. Nobody is, I don't think. But like, I think I'd just be say, don't be so hard on yourself because you're going to get things wrong and it will be fine. But it won't define you as much as you thought it would. And that's okay too. It doesn't mean you can't adore your children and adore being a mother. But I mean, I'm still having to say this to myself, but like the guilt, it's going to be there from the beginning.
Well, it's that weird thing. It's like you just touched on. It's that thing of you knew that you always wanted to be a mum.
Yeah.
I'm the same. When I had my kids, I thought I wouldn't work, that they would be my life.
Mm.
And then this career grew and all of a sudden I want that too. And it's really hard to admit, I love you, but actually I want to be working. I want to be doing the other stuff because that is me too.
Yeah. I think I started out in music a bit later. I got signed when I was 27. So potentially I could have had a career for 7 years earlier. And also I could have a career that I don't like.
Yeah.
And therefore I would want to maybe not be doing it.
Yeah.
I love my job and I love my life and I love the fact that my children are in my life and they're able to experience a lot of my life that maybe lots of children may not be able to experience with their families. But it's a bit messy, but we seem to make it work. But yeah, I think I need to be a bit kinder to myself, to be honest about it. I think I'm quite hard on myself.
I think we all are.
Mm.
I think sometimes the kindness comes from realising that we all are doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
I'd say once a month, me and Tom sit down together and we're like, something's got to give.
Really?
Yeah, the balance is just not right.
Really?
Yeah. Usually we just push ourselves, push.
And then what happens?
And then we sit down, one of us cries, probably me. And then you just have that release and be a bit kind to yourself. And then the next month you realise that you've pushed yourself to that point again.
Mm. Yeah, it's you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right?
Yeah.
Because like Tom works full time.
Yeah. So we both work in the day, balancing childcare. So his parents kind of work for us and deal with the school runs and Max now.
That's amazing.
They started having Max when he was one. And then in the evenings, we put the kids to bed. And then from 7, we're back in our offices. So we don't talk to each other.
It's hard, that, man.
Yeah. So from January, I think we're going to scale back in the evenings, actually.
So what time are you working till?
Oh, sometimes 11, midnight sometimes.
So like you never have just like that intimacy.
No.
I think that's something I'd say in the letter too. Like a friend of mine was texting me yesterday, just being like she was pissed off with her husband.
Yeah.
She's on maternity leave at the moment. And it's been quite full on. And she's loving it, absolutely loving it. But she's got to that point where the baby's about 8.5 months. And she's a bit bloody knackered.
Mm.
She just wants a little break. And she said the husband annoyed her. And I was like, I remember with my daughter, it was from around the 8.5, 9 month mark over the 1 year where me and my husband were getting on so badly.
Mm.
And I think we were just so tired. And that kind of initial haze of being a new mom is lifted. And then it's like, okay, you are... This is really mental and amazing, but wow.
And, but relentless.
Yeah, relentless. Mm. And I think it's really important to still find time for you as like a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard because it feels like a sacrifice. Like you feel guilty if, but you need to find the time because otherwise you just become this like operation.
It is that. It totally
is. Which it totally is.
Yeah.
But the reason you had babies was because you quite liked each other.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to sometimes remind yourselves of and to make that effort with each other.
Yeah. I think it's becoming aware, isn't it, of how you are with each other.
Mm.
And if you're having those conversations or if you're just literally snapping each other over breakfast to get things done before the kids leave for school.
Totally.
So I think we are aware of it and we're kind of Because I think up until about 2 months ago, I always thought, no, our time or my time or our time together, it's the family time. Mm. And then actually, no, that time is spent in the park with one of us behind the pram, the other one chasing the boys on the bikes because they've gone off. You might have those brief moments where you look at each other and go, oh, look what we made.
Well, I always think that like going out for breakfast is going to be great. No, it's always stressful. It's really stressful. Going up is shit because one of them's not eating or one of them's crying or one of them's doing a poo and it's just, or it just never works out the right way. So you have this kind of rose-tinted view of it, but no, totally.
And not putting those pressure on those moments, like the
exactly.
You see people on Instagram, it's great if they want to capture that 5 seconds where everyone was smiling and it was all great. Yeah. That's why I think when I'm really conscious of when I post things like that, to mention the before or after, to put it into context.
Totally.
Because I feel really bad if I put a picture of me and Tom up and there's a hashtag couple goals. Like, no, guys, no.
No, we fucking hated each other this morning. Literally, yeah. No, it's funny you saying that, G, because like you are writing your book. You finished it now.
Yes. Yeah, page proof.
You were doing it with a one-year-old, under one.
Yeah.
I did a similar thing with the cookbook.
Yeah.
And like doing it, you just weirdly make it work though, don't you?
Yeah, you
like,
do.
And it's all a bit rough around the edges, but it's kind of, you just make it work. But it's...
Well, the letters book, and I guess recipes are the same actually, because it's bits. Do you know what I mean? That all feeds together to create this one big bit that you obviously got to make sure that it all gels.
Yeah.
You can sit down. So say I had a run-in with someone at a swimming pool, a mum that really upset me. Yeah, so I sat down and wrote her a letter. It was actually great therapy for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I got it all out,
Thank you for being a dick.
thanks so much.
What did she do?
Buddy was having a meltdown and she came over and basically interfered, completely undermined me and just told me that, kept repeating that she was a more experienced mother.
Oh my God.
In a really condescending tone. Yeah, literally made me cry quite a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's more to it, but yeah. So I went home and wrote her a letter. But then also writing letters to myself, writing letters to the boys, it's like therapy. But like I said about the cookbook as well, you'd have recipes that you focus on. So it's kind of an intense moment for that recipe and then you can have a break and then go on something else. Whereas when I'm writing fiction, my head's got to be in the game because that's a whole like through thought and story arc.
Yeah, right. I'm not getting into fiction anytime soon. Hell no. The cookbook was enough for me. Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
But you're recording as well.
Yeah, I'm recording. Well, I've actually kind of recorded. I think we're like finishing off the record next week.
Yeah.
I'm a bit scared about that, to be honest. Like, I'm scared about how that works alongside. But the podcast really feels, even though it takes up so much time, it's such a pleasure. But like, I don't know. There's something about the fact that we can do it around whether the kids have been put to bed, then you have somebody come over at 7, and whether it's my nanny or Sam being with them in bed, at least I know they're there and I'm downstairs and I'm just, there's the fear of promo with...
leaving the house.
Leaving the house. Yeah, exactly.
Because we do everything
having to make an effort. but like, leaving the house and potentially having to go away a bit, like it's all a bit unknown, but maybe I'll do it a bit differently this time. I don't know.
How do you think you could work it?
I think I'll just do less.
Yeah.
Just do really important stuff. I'm 4 albums in now. So I'm like, I know when something is really necessary and when something is actually, I can do without it. And I think there's, the art of saying no on both parts. So I'll be a bit stricter. I have really good management. I have a really brilliant husband who can keep me in check a bit as well. Yeah. If I'm like, it's fine. I think I'll do it. Talk to me in a year.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you kind of feel like you've loosely got a grip of what's going on already in your life.
Yeah.
But and knowing that this other thing is looming, and no matter how much you love it, it's like I feel like when it's a book tour coming or whatever, how much I'm going to love that. I found it about the tour, the Having My Bad Baby tour. I've just got to get through that. And I was like, what are you doing?
No, enjoy it. You've got to appreciate it. Yeah, totally. I think that's something that doing the podcast and having children, I've slowed down in the sense of, I haven't slowed down at all, but in the sense of I'm able to take in and appreciate what's happening a bit more than when I first started out. I think now I'm like, I sung at the Royal Albert Hall the other day. I did 2 nights. I sung a song each night. I took it in and I looked. 2 years ago, I would have been so scared, wouldn't have appreciated it, would have said, that was shit. I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. And I think it's infectious, you know? Yeah. And I think like the podcast has given me that confidence in my ability in music and working, being a working mum. And I don't know, it's given me...
Do you think motherhood's also had an effect?
Yes, absolutely. I think you just don't have time or care as much because there's far more important things to worry about, such as your children and their welfare. And I love that. It's kind of emancipated me in the sense that, like, I feel freer and I feel you don't give a shit as much. And I love that. I used to care so much what people thought.
Really?
And I remember you saying that in one of your podcasts, like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. And I don't know whether you feel that with your children, like whether that's helped you kind of.
Absolutely. I think with friendships fish to fry. And stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, people that, you know, I think we all have people in our lives that don't want to be in our lives. Mm. And you're just like, no, be my friend. I think this could work. Mm. And then I think motherhood happens and you're kind of like, actually, I don't have time. You don't want to be in my life. That's cool. Fine. I don't feel like certain things shouldn't be as hard as some people make them. Mm. And actually taking a step back and kind of going, that's fine.
I think there's something so humbling and wonderful about if you've had a ridiculously stressful day and then you get home and you're with your kids and you just need to focus on this little person that you've made and they are wicked and they say something really funny. And then you just go, oh, I don't even remember what I was pissed off about before I walked through the door. They're wicked when they start speaking, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, although Buddy's the same age as your daughter, and his jokes are literally just the word poo.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, poo.
Yeah.
But why do I laugh? So much. So much.
So good. So we end each podcast with you finishing three sentences.
Oh, shit. Okay, come on then.
Being a mum means.
Fuck!
I should have fucking prepared this.
not the first time.
Being a mum means everything. But not really everything, as I've said. Does that work?
It does work. It totally
everything,
works.
If you know what I mean, but not everything. Yeah, cool.
Since being a mum, I...
look really old.
I feel that.
Mate, I don't think I'll ever sleep right again.
No.
And I now lighter. Wee every time I laugh a bit. That's fine, though. I can kind of deal with that. It's fine.
That's sad.
But it's the bags.
Yeah.
Since being a mum, I need more concealer.
I was literally plucking out grey hairs when I was in labour with Max.
Oh, I don't even have time to dye the hair at the moment.
No, I don't.
And I don't really give a shit. That's the thing.
Postpartum fluff.
Oh, my God. Like... mine is off the scale. Look at that. It's, like, amazing.
So you've got a fringe.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's kind of like that Girl Interrupted fringe where, you've been in the mental institution. You've got it, yeah.
And I'm happy when?
It's us four in bed in the morning. They've got their bottles and we've got a cup of tea. And for that split second, everything is calm. And you look at them and you're like, you are amazing. That sleepy face.
I love the split second part of that sentence.
You know what I mean, though?
No, exactly.
But maybe it's not a split second.
Take it.
But it's just like that beautiful thing. They've just woken up and they're a bit groggy and you give them their bottle and they're just like, they don't move for a second. And everyone's there. Yeah, my favourite part, the morning. If they have slept all right through the night. You know what I mean? That's like my idea of heaven, like a Sunday morning. And then, you know, you've got Ella Fitzgerald going on. Like, nah, I mean, it doesn't work like that. It's Moana or Frozen or Spice Girls. My daughter's obsessed with Spice
Amazing.
Girls. Which is really cool. She's like, can I have the Zigga Zigga? But it's so funny because we had Mel B on the podcast and I got a picture with her with the Spice Girl.
Yeah.
My daughter's literally in the picture being like, get off me. Who are you?
One day she'll fully appreciate
it. Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, God, I'm scared about what I said, but hey, it's such a pleasure.
It's so funny the table's being turned.
Oh,
isn't
mate,
it?
it's really worrying. I hope that I sound like an okay mum.
You sound like an amazing mum.
You're sweet. Yeah, I'm definitely not, but it's cool.
You are.
I love it.
I think the thing about this podcast is it's all about, it doesn't matter who you are, what you have, what you do. We all face the same things, you know, and I think that's what unifies us. Motherhood should unite
totally.
Us rather than like make us go, you do that wrong.
No,
it does
totally.
Nothing.
No,
you know.
I know. It's interesting, isn't it? The kind of shaming, but it's just, yeah, I haven't really had that.
No.
And I think I've got such a brilliant set of like sisters and mothers around me that we're all just working it out. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
But no, thank you. Honestly, your podcast is really brilliant. Like, I love it. And I'm really touched to be on it. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now I need to read some of your fiction.
I'll send you some.
But no, thanks for having me. It's
thanks.
Been so fun.
Thank you.
Pleasure.